Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon. Welcome to another episode, or put it this way, unscheduled episode of Shut Up and Listen. And once again, I'm your host, The Voice, broadcasting live right here out of New York City on this July 18th, 2015. And boy, have I been running trying to get this, trying to get myself set up to do this broadcast, which I decided to do at the last minute for the simple reason that I hadn't done it. I had been busy all week. And now, right after this broadcast, I'm headed out to JFK in order to pick up my daughter, who is coming back from a trip. And actually, my wife and daughter, they both had went out together for a trip. So now I'm coming back after I do this, back to the house and get away and then get ready. And then I'm going away on Monday or Tuesday, actually. So it's been running. I've done a lot of things today in preparation for picking my family up from the airport and taking care of myself. I've been to the barbershop and a whole lot of other mundane stuff that you don't want to hear. And I had wanted to get a broadcast in somewhere during that time, unscheduled though it may be. And the reason why I wanted to get that broadcast in was for the simple reason that there are a lot of things going on out here right now. You know that, and I know that, and it's a lot of crap going on out here right now that, I don't know, like always, and for all of us, a good deal of it ticks me off, and an even bigger amount of it pretty much upsets me, or disappoints me, or disheartens me, or disillusions me, or any other diss that you want to use without disregarding any of it. And the one I'm primarily talking about is the revelations with Bill Cosby. Now, this is something that had gotten me pretty much put out when I first heard the allegations. Now, I know the cat's in the showbiz, and we know that he wasn't innocent. He wasn't a saint like most people or practically all people in showbiz. But I had talked before, and I'm not the only person to say that something seemed wrong about the amount of people that were coming forward all at once with this barrage of allegations of stuff that had taken place with him drugging women, giving them Quaaludes, causing them to pass out, and all of this so long ago, you know. All of this took place way back. Well, I don't know up until how recent some of those allegations took place, but most of them were pretty far back. And let's face it, it was the 60s and the 70s when people were doing all kind of things with, or in some cases without, consent. But now he has admitted as much, not to all the allegations, but he has admitted to, yeah, that kind of activity, that kind of behavior. And, yeah, once again, yeah, it's upsetting to me in the perspective of how it impacts on society. And some listeners might say, well, what the hell's it got to do with impacting on society? How the hell's it impact on society? By the way, if anybody's listening right now, if this thing is recorded and you listen to it later, you can't call in. But if you're listening live right now, you can reach me by dialing area code 714-816-4604. That's area code 714-816-4604. And, of course, that works better when I'm doing my regular schedule time, which is Thursday night at 11 o'clock, which almost seems to never happen now. Something gets in the way of me doing that. But I will give it a try again, probably not next Thursday because I won't even be in town. But in the meantime, that's the number. Area code 714-816-4604. This is where it impacts for me. You know, the whole Cosby debacle. You know, and what makes it devastating for me is, you know, for me, he was something of an idol. And I'm not young. I guess it's because I always said, well, some people said, oh, yeah, you look a lot like Cosby. Don't worry. I don't go around looking for somebody that look like Cosby. And they'll say, oh, well, that's the guy, the voice there, the one that I've heard once or twice online. No, it's not that. But I admired him on a number of levels, you know. And I thought he was probably about the most admirable black person in showbiz. This is what I thought. And for me, this is a blow to the public and to youth, especially black youth. I mean, here's a cat. He was the first black actor in a dramatic series to be a co-star, I Spy, years ago. Had one of the first comedies that I can recall back in the late 60s, oh, circa 68, 69, shortly before I went in the Army. Another age reference for me. Shortly before I went in the Army, and it was a sitcom without a laugh track. And it was good, you know. This is a guy, he was instrumental in forming the Jazz Collective, I think, with Clint Eastwood and some other people. You know, he's an avid jazz fan. He's an avid jazz man. So am I, as far as that goes. And there was so much about him that I could find admirable. I even have a couple of his books. I mean, my daughter went to Temple. He's a Temple alumni, you know. And, I mean, did, you know, a lot of things I can find admirable about the guy. I have a couple of his books, Cosbyology, Fatherhood, and the one he wrote with, Dr. Albert Poussaint, Come On, People. And this is where where I'm leading with this. You know, and this is a blow to the public. That's why I'm leading that. This is a blow to the public and to youth, and especially black youth. It's a blow to the public, period, you know, because of his image. But as I say, especially to black youth, because you know what? You know what? Here's a man that addressed issues in a way that far too many black leaders, and I mean far too many black leaders, don't address. And by that I say we got far too many black leaders to give us the same rhetoric. We have far too many to go into the comfort zone and blame the system in a myriad of ways. And he repeatedly hit on the credibility of the fact that there has to be more accountability. And the thing about most of what he said was true. And now in the aftermath, you know, not in the aftermath, because this mess is not even over yet. But now way too many people are not going to want to hear people reference anything Cosby has to say on any issue. And that's a doggone sad thing. You know that? That's a doggone sad thing. And in my opinion, that's very harmful. Not only to the black consciousness, but to American consciousness at large. I mean, this was America's dad. This was the nickname he got on, you know, by way of the Cliff Huxtable character he played, and by way of the talks and, you know, speeches he gave. I've even seen him in a concert, you know, in his style of comedy. I mean, he was the recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And while so many pundits, social leaders, and politicians constantly, endlessly say we need more dialogue, and he didn't do that. He would just go straight to what he thought was wrong. You know, and when it comes to Cosby, I've heard people say, and I met one person who used to work with him. He used to work with his production company and various other things with him. They say, Cosby liked to tell dirty jokes. And I said, yeah. Well, American Dad persona was something that he had for the public. I don't care if it's the Jell-O pudding commercials or anything else, you know, or his Cliff Huxtable character or the two Cosby shows he had back in the 70s, all of which were great, by the way. Or the latest version of Kids Say the Kindest, darnest thing. I'm not giving a whole list of what he's done on TV, even though I realize now I practically have. But I've heard people say that the real Cosby, and I've heard it on more than one occasion, that at a party or some social gathering, that he was always the coolest cat in the room. And I used to joke and say that, you know, I used to joke and say that because, like me, he was a jazz man. That was why he was so cool. Because, as I said, I was joking. Because I am more of a jazz man more than any other music, and I ain't the coolest man nowhere, all right? So that was the joke. You know, and the capping off of the whole situation is that the president, well, the president doing what he had to do because he was approached by it too, since they wanted to take away the Presidential Medal of Freedom from him, which he had gotten, and probably justifiably because of what he had accomplished, maybe not what he had done in his private life. That's pretty obvious now, ain't it, boys and girls? That's pretty much obvious now. But you know what? To cap off the whole situation, the president made a statement that while not outright accuses Cosby of rape, he did define the actions as such. And of all is this at a time when we don't need a bigger decline in people to inspire, idolize, or emulate. You know, but Obama did what he had to do. You know, he didn't just say, all right, the man's a rapist, he gets to go to jail, blah, 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 blah. But he did in so many sort of ways as a very astute political leader would suggest, yeah, the cat did some stuff that wasn't right. So I think Obama handled it very well, too. But all this is happening here at a time when there's more talk than ever about a racial divide than at any other time in this nation's history. And maybe that's because it's easier for people to talk about it now. And people, you know, are more comfortable venting publicly. But most of the dialogue I hear is pretty much the same. I don't care if it's, I'm around a bunch of friends, where quite often the situation can go around to race or racial history of society or whatever, or whether it's on a radio talk call-in show or a discussion with, you know, general people anywhere. Everybody talks about what happens and what has happened, but nobody has any solution. And, you know, to me, you hear the politicians go around talking about, yeah, we need to have more dialogue, more dialogue, and so on and so forth. But my solution, well, put it this way. You know, I had a note or two written down here, and I can't find them now. That's what I was doing now. But you know something? My solution for this whole thing is I often wonder how my solution is to stop talking. And how can we do that? And stop talking the same thing, you know, and the pundits, and as I say, everybody talking about, yeah, we need more dialogue, so on and so forth. And I often wonder how the continuing influx of Africans into this country, I wonder how that continuing influx perceive us as black Americans. And one thing about it, they do press on even when a tragedy strikes, like Abner Louima, and you're not seeing a lot of Africans running up and, you know, and rallying and calling for justice. I'm sure they're out there among other people too, but they're not running as a group, and they're certainly not aligning themselves always with the, you know, more overt black American causes. And that leads me to think that we as black Americans, you know, we as black Americans, I'm guessing, and I'm not apologizing for looking at it this way, but I think too many of us try to expect all black people anywhere to look at black life, black experience, pretty much like we do. When they come from different histories, different cultures, the roots may be in Africa, sure, but they come from different cultures, they come from different histories, they come from different experiences, they come from different political or even socioeconomic viewpoints. So our history is different. Black though we may be, our cultures are different, black though we may be, you know? So it's a whole different set of circumstances quite often, depending on where the various black people around the globe can come from. And too many of us, I feel, expect other blacks to see things from the same perspective we do. That's my view. I don't back off from it. And unless I can be unequivocally proven wrong, until then, I don't apologize for my viewpoints. And like I said again, while so many pundits and social leaders and politicians constantly, endlessly say we need more dialogue, maybe that dialogue can even start with the fact that we have more in common, and by that I mean black Americans and white Americans, we have more in common with each other than we do with the inflow of Africans into the country. Yeah. And once again, I don't apologize for that, because if the average black American actually thinks about that, and if the average white American actually thinks about that, they will have to agree that is the truth. First and foremost, most of us share the same type of religions. It's largely a Christian country. And blacks and whites here in America are largely Christian, boys and girls. We all basically eat the same foods, in spite of the fact that you have soul food or you have southern food or, you know, you have pasta. We all go to the same type of restaurants, eat basically the same type of foods. We cook the same type of foods. We buy the same, maybe variations on it, just like there are regional and geographical variations, but we all basically do that. We all like the same sports, baseball, football, basketball, golf. What the hell? We all like a lot of that stuff. We all have the same entertainment, sports, R&B, pop music, basically movies, you know? And like I say, once again, we all basically listen to the same type of music. I mean, you know, everybody listens to what used to be called the top 40. Everybody listens to stuff on the R&B charts, which is on the pop charts now. Everybody listens to all kind of stuff. Jazz, America's art form, which to me is more than just music. It's our art. It's our contribution to the world's art gallery. And, you know, that's another topic. And it's also another thing I'm going to hear in this broadcast also, with our contributions and what we should realize and hang on to and exemplify even more, okay? And this is, you know, recreation, holidays, we all pretty much celebrate all the same stuff. And we still have an ability to get our power base stronger, that is blacks as well as whites, and more solidly, if we acknowledge the fact that, as Quincy Jones once said in an award ceremony, we are the most influential blacks on the planet. And it's true. Nobody like American blacks influences culture around the world. Even today, with today's hip-hop society, you see kids in Asian countries, in African countries. You see people, I mean, you know, kids dressed like the same kids you see here, you know, with all the b-boy, I mean, with all the hip-hop club, I mean, everything, you will see it. It's in the rap music. It's in the R&B-based music. You know, almost everything, and I don't mean it didn't start just with the English coming over here in the 60s with the music invasion and doing a lot of songs that were previously R&B songs that a whole crap load of the public out here didn't know about or don't care about. And I'm not telling anybody that they should care. I'm just saying that that is how it is, and we have resonated on society more than most people even realize. And the sad part about it is more than even too many of us as black people realize. That's the point I'm making with that. That's what I'm talking about with that, as far as that's concerned, okay? Now, You know, too many of us try to relate to people too many blacks. You know, in spite of, like as Quincy Jones said, we're the most influential black people in the country. You know, in spite of that, down through the last couple of decades, you know, we've had a great many of people who tried to relate to us, blacks, and I'm not saying you don't not acknowledge them, you don't embrace cultures and learn from other cultures, but it's as if to say we are going too far to try to relate to people outside of what we as blacks in this country have created as our own culture. Some people say, well, you know, the problem is here in this country we don't have a culture. And I say, as black people, yes, we do have a culture. And any people that can create an art form, there is a culture behind it. We have a hybrid culture now. We don't have to have had this one common African culture anymore that we all come from and that we celebrate and we resonate with. You know, hell, that was 400 years ago, and in spite of the fact that we're still going through things out here, and in spite of the fact there's a long way to go, there's some stuff that we have to look at and realize and say, hey, we are it. We have created this. And I differ from the opinion that a lot of people will have, and that I think that when you are a black person, you know, coming to this country, you should be willing to even make any more of an effort to embrace our culture. After all, I hate to sound jaded about this, and at the same time, I don't hate to sound jaded about this because you did come here. And we try to, you know, at this point, try to relate to a lot of people, as I say, outside of American culture, and you should, but you don't just fully throw out 400 years of what we have created in America, this hybrid form that we have, that's a combination of black and African and European culture, what we have that I like to call black American culture, not necessarily African-American, because at this point, I still believe we should just simply be called black or black Americans or black USA people or something, because some people say, hey, you can't be called American because America is a whole continent. North America is two continents, South America, but that's one of those dialogues, too, that's worth talking about. This whole Cosby situation just led me to that and to consider all those other aspects. And once again, I say the whole Cosby debacle, the whole Cosby thing, situation is sad. It is disheartening. And, you know, it's hard for somebody that you, I don't have idols a lot. I have almost never had an idol. Not that it was a real person, you know, for years. But he was the closest, I will admit, person to an idol. I mean, I really was proud of him. I really did like what he accomplished. I liked his style. And I'm talking about clothing style. I mean, I just liked his, you know, his style. How the cat came across, how he delivered. But now we're getting all of this. And now he's admitting to, well, at least some of it. And as I say, there is no way when you see more people fall from grace or fall off the pedestal and more bizarreness out here, there is no way in bizarreness. Think about it for a while. You know pretty much what I'm talking about there. So I don't have to necessarily put my foot in my mouth, but, you know, with more bizarreness going on out here now, and people are saying that's commonplace. It's sad to see somebody that I feel truly should be admired. It's sad to see that person fall from grace. And it's everything. And I hope, even though I worry about the impact it's going to have on society, and as I say, I feel it is going to have an impact on society all total. But what I do have hope is that it doesn't have a negative impact. Just like I hope people don't just basically remain apathetic and the beat goes on. But I suspect that that's what too many people will do. As long as we have our football statistics and our NBA championships and, you know, our reality shows to keep up with what's going on and blah, 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 so on and so forth. Yeah. Thus will be the fate, the ongoing situation and or fate of America, where that's concerned. The last thing I want to talk about with the limited time I have left is the taking down of the Confederate flag in the capital of South Carolina. Is it good? Is it bad? It is, yes, a good thing. It has been up for years, and that makes you wonder why. Well, it hadn't been suggested before that Confederate flags should not be used in a public place, a public place being any place under a state or a city or a national government. And to me, and like a lot of people have thought about it, to me that's the same thing if you were in Germany and you saw a Nazi flag in the corner of the national flag, or a Nazi flag under the national flag, or what have you. You know, and of course there are Nazi flags, but you still have neo-Nazis out here and all of that. So in a private place, they want to put it up just like you might go to some good old boy or a southern honky-tonk or something somewhere, and you may see a big Confederate flag on the back of the wall or something. Okay, that is not illegal. That is not illegal. All right, but in a public place, on a government-sanctioned building, no, it should be. It's a shame that it took this tragedy that just happened with 9 people killed in a church during a Bible study, of all things, it took a major tragedy like that to finally get action to get the flag down. And look at how quick it was done. Maybe because 9 people were killed in a church during a Bible study caused people to finally take it down. In the politics of this boy who did this, and by the way, I'm glad this boy was not killed. I'm tired of these people wreaking all this carnage and then taking what I feel like is the quick and easy way out by committing suicide. Nah, and get these people incarcerated, and then make sure we do something with them to make sure they spend the rest of their life saying, wish I hadn't done that. I don't know what they're going to do with him. I don't know how the trial is going to go. I don't know how the trial is going to end. I don't know what the sentence is going to be. But I still am glad he didn't take what I feel like for some of these people is the easy way out by committing suicide. You understand? But anyway, the flag is down. And the good part is that it will make a lot of people think, and you're still going to see it on bumper stickers. You're still going to see it, you know, maybe inside of a truck or things of that sort. One woman, I heard on the news yesterday, some guy came up and ripped her flags off her truck, off the back bumper of her truck, or something of that sort. Now, I don't think that the radical actions like that are going to help, you know, if a person wanted to put it on the back of their truck. But then I think about the fact, well, it wouldn't be good to have a Nazi flag on the back of your car or truck in Germany as well as the United States either. And I know it was a symbol of just Southern pride, too. But maybe we should push the issue a little more and let the people who have always considered it a symbol of the Southern spirit to fight back. They know maybe, just maybe, there should be, here's this word again, some dialogue about the fact that if you don't want to hear this thing about being called racist or something like that, all right, damn, here you go calling us that again or something like that, then maybe they should be made to think about the fact. Do you know that was a sign of treason, of going against the United States, and since it still is the United States, that was a sign of going against the government in the United States in which you now live? Maybe there should be some dialogue back then and say, well, maybe we really don't need the Confederate flag anymore. It's not about Southern independence and Southern spirit and the resistance to the status quo. Maybe it is about treason more than anything else, and maybe we should take it down in places unless we are considered secret anarchists. Maybe that would be a dialogue, since we are so dialogue-laden in this country. But with that having been said, I'm going to have to sign off now. And hopefully, within the next week, I'll have a scheduled broadcast. No, I don't think I'll have one next week, but I will do a broadcast. Anybody listening, you can log in anytime or shut up and listen online. So I want to thank anybody who was listening, anybody who's going to listen. And you've been listening to me. I'm your host, The Voice. You've been listening to Shut Up and Listen. And everyone out there listening, I hope you have a good remainder of this weekend.